Good evening and welcome to the Sunday night service of First Baptist Church, Haltom City. I want to say my name is Gary Way, and filling in for Pastor Mosley, who's sick, and you continue to pray for him and Mrs. Mosley as well. And the prayer request this morning was to pray for Brother Starkey and Mrs. McNabb, who are both still in the hospital. It's my privilege to fill the pulpit tonight as well. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Numbers, chapter number 9, Numbers chapter number 9. While you're turning there, hope you sitting in your chair, at your table, wherever you are watching the service on YouTube, and follow along in the scriptures as we see a fairly familiar verse of scripture, passage of scripture. But I want to, on the lighter side, I want you to make sure that Lance Mosley listens to my messages because we know he needs it. So, Brother Lance, hope you're watching at home. But here in the book of Numbers, chapter number 9, begin reading in verse number 15. The Bible says, "And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. In the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even until the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word and see a story here that most of us are familiar with, but there's a little twist to it that I want to add to it tonight to make us just see some things a little more clearly. Help us now, Father, please. I'm asking for your help. We ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, again, a story that's fairly familiar to everybody. Let's review a moment. Now, the children of Israel had left Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They'd been wandering in the wilderness for several years, as we know from the story. Now, if you've ever been to that part of the country, as I have many times, the desert wilderness of southern Arabia, the Sinai Peninsula, which is north Egypt, and then the Negev Desert in Israel, it is literally tens of thousands of square miles. I mean, it is massive. It's very big. And when you get out there, as far as the eye can see, it's just miles and miles of wilderness. And I'm talking about a desert-type wilderness, very few trees, a lot of sand, a lot of rocks, a lot of mountainous areas there. It's not pretty like you and I think of a wilderness. We think of a national forest with all these big trees and leaves and all. No, no. The wilderness that this Bible's talking about that you can go to even today is a very desolate place, very dry, less than 8 inches of rain a year. So it's a very dry part there. And you look out above that when you're there in Israel or when you're in the Sinai in Egypt or into Jordan, you can literally just as far as the eye can see, you're looking at wilderness. Now, obviously, there's not a lot of landmarks because there's not hardly any trees and the mountains just everywhere. But it wouldn't be hard to get lost in that area of the world. Now, according to Scripture, during the day, God used a cloud to lead them. So the children of Israel, they would pack everything up and they would follow the cloud. And then when the cloud moved, they moved. At night, if the cloud, the appearance of fire was there, if it moved, they moved. If it stayed put, they stayed put. And so the simply would matter was this. Now look at verse number 22. "Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed." So the cloud put them where God wanted them. And wherever he put them, they remained there, as the Bible used the illustration, whether it was 2 days, or a month, or even a year. That cloud was used by God to direct his children from one point to the other exactly where he wanted them. They didn't have to wonder about where they were going to go. They didn't wonder how long they were going to have to stay. They simply followed the cloud. During their journey, again, this massive wilderness of tens of thousands of square miles in that part of the world, they had to trust in the Lord, that he was going to lead them where he wanted them and that he was going to provide for them. They had to put their trust in God to lead them. Look at verse 23. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Notice that word commandment. This is important. When the Lord commanded them to stay put, they stayed there. When the Lord commanded them to get up and go, as we used to say when I was a kid, they got up and went. You say, what's the application? Well, simply this. When I was reading the verses, and again, a familiar story. We've read it many times, and we've heard Sunday school lessons from that particular part. But I thought, wouldn't it be great if a cloud would lead us through life? Wouldn't it be great if we got up in the morning, went out to our car, and there's a cloud, and we said, okay, I'm going to follow that cloud, and it would take me where God wanted me to go. And wouldn't it be great to have that kind of a cloud there? Hey, wouldn't it be great if I had some kind of way that I could look up in the evening and see the appearance of fire and just say, okay, I'm going to go this way, then I'm going to follow it that way. I'm going to be there. And so we look at that. It would be great if we had some kind of a cloud or this fire that was there to help us know exactly where God wanted us to be, doing exactly what God wanted us to do. Now, don't get ahead of me because I think you already know the answer to that. We do have a cloud. It's called the Bible. It's called the Word of God. And the Bible has a lot to say about the Bible. You don't have to turn there for sake of time, but you know the Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture. Now, my dad preached for 55 years. He pastored for 42 years. My dad said, when you see the word all, it means exactly that, all. So all Scripture, that means Old Testament, New Testament, all Scripture. In fact, when this was written in 2 Timothy, there really wasn't even a New Testament at that time. There were just a few books at this time. He's primarily talking about the Old Testament. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Then it tells us why. It says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, when it says that the man of God may be perfect, it doesn't mean, it means that it would be level, temperate, mature, wise decisions. Now, look at that next word there because sometimes we mispronounce that. It says thoroughly, not thoroughly. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So here we're told that the Bible, all Scripture, is given to us for every area of our life. It's given to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. And don't miss that. Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. So I have a cloud. I have the fire to guide me. I have the cloud to guide me because the Bible's there for me to understand doctrine, the doctrine of the Word of God, the doctrine of God. And that's there. The Bible's for me to see reproof. You say, what's reproof? That tells me what I did wrong. You say, well, what's the next one? Well, it says correction. Okay, I correct what I did wrong. And then instruction is to help me learn not to make the same mistakes. So the Bible's given to us for that reason. It's to give us our foundation of Scripture, our foundation of God. Then it's to say, okay, this is wrong. This is how you correct it. And then this is how you do what's right. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, he says, talking to his heavenly Father, he says, thy word is truth. Hey, listen, I need a reprimand when I do wrong. That's reproof. And after I've been reprimanded, I need correction and instruction, and the Bible gives me that. So I want us to think about some scriptures this evening when we think about it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Now, remember a while ago we talked about that word commandment? We're coming back to it. Why? Well, Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Look at that. The law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. God's word is perfect. We've got to grab a hold of that. There's no mistakes in it. There's no contradictions in it. It is perfect. It is God's perfect word for us. Then look at the next phrase, converting the soul. Converting. That means it's changing what we started with, and God's working on our heart. He's converting it. The illustration, the only illustration I know is that during the World War II, we had literally thousands, tens of thousands of cargo planes that were made by the United States Air Force. Tens of thousands. They used those cargo planes to haul troops, to haul equipment. They had to take the troops and stuff to the European theater. They had to take it to the Pacific theater. We're fighting two wars at one time. Well, at the end of the war, they had all of these planes, these cargo planes, which basically meant they had a hull and nothing inside. Now, they could fly, but they weren't. So what they did, they converted those old planes into passenger planes. They converted it from what it started at. They converted it to be something that was usable. And so God wants to convert us. He wants to take us and change us from what we started in our life and when we got saved. And he wants to convert us. He changes. And the Bible says that's what it's for. It's going to work on. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The commandment. God simply saying, look, just pay attention to what you see there. The Word of God is for us. It's a cloud to guide us, to direct us, to lead us. Psalm 111, verse number 7. The work of his hands are verity and judgment. And I love this part. All his commandments are sure. Well, since his commandments are sure, then I can trust him. According to Numbers chapter 9, when we read a while ago in verse 20, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. Now, it was important for the children of Israel to obey the commandment of God when it was time to move or when it was time to stay. And the same thing is true for me today. I have the Word of God to guide me. It's a sure word, and I can trust what God's Word says. Psalm 119, verse number 11. We all learned this in Sunday school. We're little boys and girls. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Bible will guide us away from sin. The Bible will guide us away, will lead us away from those things. My mom, when I was a little boy, I was kind of mischievous. I know you won't believe that. The mom would say, son, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. And she didn't realize that what I'm saying is God has given us a word. He's given us a cloud that we can follow. He's given us the fire that we can follow. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My Bible is a lamp. It's a light. It's a guide. It's a cloud. If you've ever been out when it's really dark and you're trying to find your way around, man, you put that flashlight out there. And boy, these modern flashlights are wonderful. Boy, these 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 lumen flashlights, they'll light up this whole room. And you put that out there, it makes it, you know exactly where you're going. You know exactly where to step. You're not going to stumble and fall. And the Bible says, hey, that's what it's there for. It's to help us not to stumble, not to fall, to make sure we take the right steps. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The Bible says the commandments of God, the Word of God, is a lamp. It's a light. It's an instruction. It's a way of life. Well, remember 2 Timothy chapter 3? It's therefore instruction in righteousness. Instruction. So the children of Israel were led by a cloud, and we've got a cloud that leads us. It's called the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now, don't miss that. Sometimes we read the Bible too fast. He that hath my commandments, talking about this Bible, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, now don't miss this, and will manifest myself to him. God says, hey, listen, it's truth. And when we have his commandments, and we do what this book says, God says, that's how I know you love me, when you do what I ask you to do. And he says, you'll be loved of my Father, I'll love you, now don't miss this, and will manifest myself to him. God will make himself known. God will be able to help us make some very important decisions in life if we'll do that. And listen, when I read that verse, that's a verse like this morning, that's a convicting verse. Am I following God's word? Am I one that God can say, yeah, Gary Way, that boy loves me because he does what I ask him to do. He's following the commandments of the Bible. So when I have the commandments of God, which I do, I have my Bible. And when I have the commandments of the Word of God, which I do, Jesus said, hey, he it is that loveth me. And don't miss this. I can't say I love the Lord if I'm not living according to his word. That's what he said. He said, if you do it, you love him. Well, the converse is the same true. if I don't do what it said, then I don't love him like I think I do. That's what Jesus said. So no matter how you cut it, this matter of keeping the commandments of God, keeping the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, it is important. It's very important. Now, the 21st century Christian and even the last part of the 20th century, we kind of gotten away. We've become what I call buffet Baptist. Now, my wife, she likes to go to First Cafeteria. Now, remember the days when Luby's Cafeteria and some of these others, Piccadilly and all this like that, you'd get this long line, and you'd start down here. We'll just use this wall over here. And you'd start down here, and she'd always be in front of me, and she'd start, and she'd, the first section was the salads, and she'd want the pea salad or the carrot salad, carrot and raisin salad. And she'd just, listen, and when I got the salads, I said, I just going to skip that. Then you get down to some meats, and you say, okay, I want this meat. Then you'd look at the liver and onions, and I'd say, I don't want that. I don't want that part. You get down to the vegetables, and my wife would get some broccoli, and I say, I don't want broccoli. Just give me some fried okra. Then you get down to the desserts. What are you doing? You are picking and choosing off that buffet line what you like. Well, what we've done in my lifetime is we've taken the Word of God, and we've said, well, there's parts I like, so I'll take that. But if I don't like it, I'm not going to take it. I got news for you, folks. That's not what God intended. That's not what the Word of God teaches. He said, when you have His commandments and you do what He said, you're proving to me that you love me. We got a lot of people say, I love God, but they don't care anything about living by the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 3, and he that keepeth His commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Let's break that verse down. And He, that means me and you. And he that keepeth His commandments, when we do what the Word of God says, and he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him. When we have the Word of God, we have our cloud, we have our fire to guide us, we have something that will show us, will lead us, we can trust it, it's sure, it'll help us, it's throughly furnished, through and through, it will help us. When we have that, then Christ can dwell with us, and we can dwell with Him. Remember this morning we talked about drawing closer to God. If I want Christ to dwell with me, to be with me, and to help me, then I've got to say, I'm going to do what God's Word said. I think we want to dwell in Christ, but sometimes we don't always want to do what God said. Folks, we got to understand, this is important. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust, okay, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, don't miss this. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Think about that for a moment. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, what am I going to lean on? The Word of God, the Bible. Then verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Now don't miss this. And He shall direct thy paths. If we want to go the direction God wants us to, then we say, I don't understand it. We don't lean on our understanding. We lean on the truth of God's Word. We can trust that. Psalm number 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and don't miss this, and He delighteth in His ways. The steps of a good man, okay, what it say in Proverbs chapter 3, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So He says, if we'll acknowledge Him, trust Him, He will direct our paths. And in the book of Psalms, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God wants to guide us. God wants to direct us. God wants to lead us to the part where we're doing what He wants us to do. We're making the right decisions. We're living the kind of life that pleases God, that shows God, hey, God, I really do love You. I'm doing the best I can to live according to this book. I want you to know I love You, and I want You to direct my paths. I want my steps ordered by You. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we don't lean under our own understanding. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I need the Lord to order my steps. I need Christ to dwell in me. I need a cloud. I need the Word of God to lead me exactly where God wants me to be. I need a cloud for God to lead me exactly to what decisions I need to make in my life. I need the Word of God. I need my Bible. Hey, listen, I need my Bible as I try to lead my family. You know, I have two children. They're grown now. I've got grandkids. But let me tell you something. When my kids were at home, I needed the Word of God to show me what to do in the lives of my children. I needed that. I needed the Bible to direct my path. I needed God to show me. I needed God to give me that cloud to say, do this and this and this. I needed that. My wife and my children, they depended upon me. I'm the man of the house. According to the Word of God, there's Christ in the man, the wife, and the children. I needed to stay close to God. My children need me. My wife needs me. She's depending upon me. And I need God's guidance, and I need God's direction. Hey, listen, I need God to help me be the kind of husband I need to be. I need God to help me to be the kind of husband that my wife never has to worry about anything. I wonder how many wives sometimes wonder, does my husband really love me? Does he really? I wonder how many wives sometimes say, I wonder if my husband's going to leave me. Let that sink in for a moment. I wonder how many wives last night cried themselves to sleep because of something their husband did or said to them. See, I need a cloud. I need the Word of God to make me to be the kind of husband I need to be, to make sure my wife never has to experience those kind of emotions. About 20 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, maybe 25 years ago, there was a lot of people that my wife and I had known through the years, including my brother who would get a divorce. And several, I mean, good friends, people we'd known for a number of years, they were getting divorced. And I stopped one night and I was just thinking, I thought, Lord, well, I don't want my wife to ever have to. Here she is. She's lost a sister-in-law, and these friends over here, they're getting divorced. And I thought, that's got to be weighing on her. I said, Lord, help me be the kind of husband that thought will never cross my wife's heart. Why? I need God's Word to guide me. I want God to help me make the right kind of decisions. My children. Now my grandchildren. Can I tell you, my grandchildren need me to be able to show them and to help them. And if I'm not following God, what direction am I taking them? Hey, my children, my grandchildren need that. Hey, when it came time to pick a wife for my son, I needed to be there for him. And when it came time for my daughter to find a husband, I needed to be exactly where God wanted me to be so I could help them make the right decisions. And again, those grandchildren, I got five grandchildren, they need a granddad who's going to follow God's Word and follow that cloud, because there's too many important decisions in life that have to be made that if we don't follow God, if we don't follow this cloud, we're going to make the wrong decision. How many young men, how many young women have married the wrong person because they weren't following the Word of God? They weren't letting God lead and guide and direct them. We know a lot of them, don't we? Unfortunately, it's not a good deal. I have three grandsons, Andrew, Clayton, and Daniel. Two little girls, Bailey and Hannah. They need me to follow God's Word. They need me to be a steady influence in their life. They need me to follow what God said there. They need that. But, you know, sometimes we don't always want to follow the cloud, do we? We don't always want to follow what God's Word says because we want to lean under our own understanding. Can't do it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Our problem is we do that. Here's a verse you don't need to ever forget. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 26. Write that down so you can look it up later. Proverbs 28, 26. Don't miss this. This is a very important verse in the life, especially young people. Not just young people, but especially the lives of young people. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. How many times have we heard this expression? Well, I just know in my heart. What does God's Word say? You're a fool. Well, I just feel in my heart. I just know deep down in my heart. No. That's not what God's going to guide you. That's not what God's going to... No. That's why it's so important to follow what God says. Don't lean into my own understanding. Don't listen to my heart. He that trusteth his own heart is a fool. Hey, emotions can... I just need the cloud of God's Word to guide me, to direct my path, to be a light unto my feet, to be a lamp unto my path so that I can make sure that I take a sure step, that I don't slip, that I don't slide, that I don't fall, that I can go straight. And I need God's Word to lead me exactly where God wants me to go so that I don't have to wonder, I don't have to guess. I know this is what God wants for me because I'm trying to do what He says. He said He'd dwell with me and He would guide my steps, He would order my steps, He would direct my paths. I need that. Now think about it for a moment. As long as the children of Israel obeyed, God led them to safety. God provided for them. I was in that Judea wilderness just about a year ago now, way down in the south towards Eilat. And we traveled from the Gaza Strip all the way to Eilat, just driving for miles and miles, over 120 miles down through that desert. And I began to think, I thought, wow, we have a map. We have a GPS on the phone that says turn here, turn there. And I thought, boy, if we didn't have that, look at all this area we'd be. But no. I want to follow God's path for my life. When the children of Israel, when they disobeyed God, when they didn't want to do what God said, they got in trouble. And we could spend a long time there. The same thing applies to us. When we obey, God's going to take care of us. God will provide for us. But when we disobey, nothing but trouble. I thought of this years ago. I can follow the crowd, or I can follow the cloud. Now think about it. I can follow the cloud. I can follow God's word, or I can follow that crowd. But the Bible says that's not going to end up so well. Because what I've learned in my life, the crowd is going to bring you a lot of heartache and heartbreak. The crowd is never going to lead you to do right things. But the cloud of God's word, this sure word, this truth of God's word, it'll help me. It'll help me. You see how important it is? So the question tonight as we close is, have I followed the cloud? Or maybe bring it right now. Am I following the cloud? Am I following what God says? What I've been taught, what I've read in this book, am I letting God order my path? Am I letting God's word be a lamp unto my feet? Or am I leaning unto my own understanding? Or am I trusting my heart? You know, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, the heart is desperately wicked. Don't miss that. Not just wicked, desperately wicked. That's why the Bible says you can't follow that heart. You can't follow your heart. You got to follow what God's word says. So think about that tonight. Have I followed the cloud? Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We know the story of the children of Israel. They were there in the wilderness, and the cloud led them, and the fire led them. And as long as they followed, everything went well. And the same thing applies to us today. When we follow your word, when we acknowledge you and you direct our paths, it works out. But when we start listening to our heart, we start listening to the crowd instead of the cloud, we make a lot of tragic mistakes. So the challenge for us is, Lord, to decide tonight, right now, I'm going to follow the cloud. I'm going to follow the word of God. I'm going to follow God's plan for my life. I'm not going to follow the crowd. I'm going to follow the cloud. Thank you, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.